Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Online, on your mobile, and on FM.
From the home of time.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
My name is Taylor Bowley, and it is 7 o'clock, and you are listening to Charlton Live.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. Red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
You know, they say that all good things must come to an end, but unfortunately, so must this season. This is Charlton Live. So, very good evening to you. We've made it. It's the last show of the season. My name is Louis Mendez, and the last Charlton Live of the season here in the studio at Maritime Radio. Joining me is the grand old man of Charlton Live, the ex-convict, Terry Smith. Hey, didn't tell.
Evening. Yeah, I've just been let out for the day.
Excellent stuff. Mr. Nathan Muller, how are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, living the dream.
Living the dream. As always. And the dream's come to its end at the end of the season.
It has, but we've got, September onwards.
I was going to say, just for the dream does roll over to the next season.
I don't think I'll be living the dream in the summer, no. When Charlton get back, I will be.
Excellent stuff. And of course, Mr. Tom Walling, how are you doing, Tom?
All right, yeah, good.
Yeah, how's the end of the season hit you?
I haven't really thought about it, to be honest. I'll just be glad when it's over. Yeah, hour and a half to go.
We've got a special guest in this evening as well, Mr. Mark Newry, the Garmy head chef, a constant emailer to the show, one of our favourite, I'd say actually our favourite listener. Sorry to the rest of you. But Mark, I wonder
why that would be. Is it because I bring food?
Is it because I'm currently sat here eating caviar for the first time in my life?
Caviar in South London.
You know, Mark, you're right?
I'm good, thank you.
Have you enjoyed the season?
I've enjoyed parts of it. I've enjoyed parts of it. I think when we were bad, we were very bad, and when we were good, we were terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's been probably disappointing.
Yeah. The inconsistencies of the season. I think that probably sums it up quite fairly for us this season. We've been arguably the most inconsistent side, and if you are the most inconsistent side, you will finish banging mid-table, and we're 13th. So 12th and 13th are the two most middling positions, so therefore we are the most inconsistent side. Do we get a trophy for that?
I don't think so.
No, it was mini league.
We've probably just been edged for that as well.
Yeah. We have won the mini league. We are top of the bottom half. So there you go.
Did we lose the draw? league table. So on
tonight's Charlton Live, we're going to look back at today's final game of the season, the 3-0 victory over Swindon Town. They're already relegated. Swindon Town, of course, arguably even more important today was... Was it Jackson's last game? It wasn't Jackson's last game, but it sort of was Jackson's last game. But any excuse to reminisce about Johnny Jackson's Charlton career, we're going to take that with both hands tonight. We're going to hear exclusively from Carl Robinson, who was in a interesting mood at full time, wasn't he? Wasn't he, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear the interview hopefully shortly. It started off as most interviews do, and he seemed reasonably positive. As he does, but then just at the end it sort of tailed off a little bit. I don't want to give too much away until you actually hear it, but yeah, a little bit of a strange finish.
Yeah, just a bit, and the fact is that there was a strange finish to your interview, and there's a strange finish to the BBC interview as well, which it was just strange. I think we'll talk about that when we get to that. We're also going to, of course, you know, it's a chance to review the season. We're going to hear, we're also, as you guys love, we're going to have an end of season quiz as well. Now, back in the day when I used to be on the other side of the table, I used to always win the quiz. Now I have to host the quiz, so it's a slightly... I still feel like I could win it if I had to.
I think it's because you put all the people who had half a brain on your team. I think that's probably it.
And
I ended up with all the tickos like me.
Yeah. Happened again this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Hang on, Tell.
It's like deja vu.
I'm just
going
to put out it. I won the Christmas one, Tell. So let's...
Was it multiple choice?
We're going to end the show with an end of season compilation. We're going to look back at the highs and lows and the very many middles of this season. It's the last show of the season. It's the last time that you guys can have your say on how this campaign has gone. We want to know what you thought of this season, what you thought of the protests today. There's plenty of protests today we're going to talk about. How do you see things going forward? And you know, maybe even wait until you hear from Carl Robinson for that. But how do you see things going forward after the end of this season? Can you see any potential light at the tunnel at the end of the tunnel after this campaign? Let us know. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there. We really want to hear what your say is, your final word on the end of this campaign is. Right, unfortunately, due to the Wi-Fi at the Valley being rubbish, we haven't really got enough highlights to make it worthwhile to actually put the whole lot in, so we won't hear the highlights, but we'll go straight into it. Terry, you were sat there commentating on BBC on CFC Player HD. And I couldn't be bothered to work today, so I just held my microphone up to you. And what did you think of today's game? 3-0 victory. It's a nice way to end the season, really.
It's a stroll, let's be honest. I think, and even though I've got to say, even though it was a bit of a stroll, you could still see why we are where we are, because at times we allowed Swindon to play around us. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that they were really awful, then we could have been punished today by a better side, I think, because there were times, even though on the opposite side of that, there were times when we played some lovely football, and the three goals came about because of some lovely interplay between the players. But there were still times when, you know, a Swindon side got round us and in the back of us, and Declan Radder to save us once, and I think some really poor finishing stopped Swindon from getting on the score sheet. So, you know, I think it sort of summed our season up. There were some really good moments in there, but you could also see, oh my God, you know, that's why we're here.
And a remarkable amount of similarities between our last two home games of the season, both against teams that are right down there. Obviously, Swindon gone down, Gillingham just about stayed up. 3-0 victories, chances for the other teams. It could have gone either way, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those sort of end of season games where there was nothing to play for. You know, even when we scored, it was just a case of wee. It wasn't not like a tight.
I love that noise. Yeah.
Wee.
Crofty.
Yeah. But you know, it was a case of, you know, it was going through the motions, and it did feel like a game with like nothing to hang of. And like Tell said, like Swindon were, yeah, they were the worst side I've seen here by a country mile.
Well, apart from Charlton against Old.
Yeah. 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 Apart from Old. Yeah. But that, like, I don't think Swindon offered anything, but there were times where they sort of, like Telstra, they got behind us, and I was thinking, well, how is that possible considering how dominant we were and how we could be if we imposed ourselves properly? But yeah, we went through the motions, had a couple of decent passages of play. Jada Silva again, who's absolutely amazing, which I love him. I love him already. But yeah, we just sort of went through the motions, but it was nice to see Josh get a goal because he was a bit rusty, and obviously Ricky topping off his Player of the Year award, which was obviously going to happen. But yeah, it just seemed a bit, I don't know, We won 3-0, but I wouldn't say it was a dominant performance.
It's one of those things, Tom, I guess, where the victories throughout this season have always been tinged with a little bit. I mean, because any other season, you watch your last home game of the season, you win 3-0, you come out of it buzzing. You know, it's like, that's great. Let's enjoy the summer. Let's think about next year. I mean, the process at the start of the game probably said a lot as well, but it's just not quite the same these days, is it?
No, it felt very flat, and it's weird because I think, am I right in saying the last 2 years we've had the winners of the league here on the final day in Burnley and Bournemouth? So they've been big occasions, not for us. But other than that, my memory of last games of the season is that we usually do quite well. And we do, you know, we had obviously the big win when we won League One. But even other seasons, we seem to do quite well here. I remember Jan getting a hat-trick one season. I think that was last season.
There was that time we beat Norwich as well when we'd already been relegated.
We always seem to do fine on the last day, but as you say, it just feels so flat because there's so much going on that's got nothing to do with what's happening on the pitch that it kind of just paled into insignificance. Like a couple of the goals, people around me didn't even stand up. There was just nothing. It was like, let's get the game out of the way and finish this season off.
Yeah. Now, there was, Mark, I mean, I'll bring you in on this point. There was one point in the game where every single person in that stadium rose to their feet, and that was when we sort of bid farewell to Johnny Jackson, but didn't bid farewell. But as Carl explained to us post-match, this was his final game as just a player. He's going to be a player coach next season. But when you come down to the ground on the last day of the season, you get a moment like that where you're paying homage to one of our favourite players of all time. That was a really special moment for me.
Well, I loved the fact that for about 15 minutes they just played him behind Josh trying to get a goal. And I'd said, you know, he's going to go off and then we're going to get a penalty. And then we're going to try and spot him back on. That's what you know, he was that close.
Yeah, I mean, that moment sort of early in the second half where he went through and the goalkeeper saved it. I mean, that, I just had visions of that Chris Powell goal against Coventry in my mind. And that just would have been the perfect ending to this season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. There's another club in blue in West London who have lost their captain, and they say, you know, legend, leader. And I'm thinking, well, no, because look at the kind of man he is, but look at ours, and that's like real apt for him, because he has been the constant thing for the last couple of seasons. He's driven the club on from the player side of things, whereas everything else has been going on. It seemed like he's that constant, so it depends how much are we going to miss not having him around every match squad.
And the importance of what his new role is going to be, a player coaching role. I mean, how much he's going to play next season, that's a huge question, isn't it? But as Mark just mentioned, the aura he brings to the squad is so important.
I think the Checker trade might see him appear from time to time.
Checker trade don't deserve Johnny Jackson.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth for sure. But no, I think you're right. I think there's a couple of things here that any players we bring in, yeah, they need to know about the club. They need to know what it takes to be here. And I think at times that hasn't happened. So, I mean, assuming we bring in the right type of player from now, who knows? Only time will tell. You need somebody like Johnny Jackson to drag those players into the Charlton ethos, I suppose, or into what this club's about. And, you know, I think you'd be the first to admit that he probably hasn't been able to do that so much this season, because the distance between those players and what we're about is too big currently. You see it in flashes, but not enough. So there's two things that have got to happen. One, of course, Johnny Jackson's here, and that's great, and he's going to be part of the coaching setup and beyond, hopefully. But two, the players we've got to bring in have got to be of the type that that can buy into what he can tell them.
I think as well, like our reliance on him, even not just on the playing side of things, is so important at the moment. And I think what he needs to be able to do is bring, like Terry says, bring those players in, feed that ethos through to them, and try and find other people that can carry that on for him as well. Because hopefully he's going to be around the club for a long time to come, and I think we all here would hope that one day he'll get a crack at being a manager here. But we need those players on the pitch as well, and his legs, you know, he can't do that anymore, but he needs to be able to be the one to bring those other players through for me.
In terms of a connection between the fans and the players as well, I mean, that's something, there's a chasm between, especially last season, but probably carries over to this season when you look at some of the incidents we had early on in the season, and just the fact that we haven't done very well this season. The fact that if it wasn't for Jackson and Solly, I mean, maybe Ricky Holmes because of how well he's played, there really is no one else that's keeping the fans with the team, and that's so important at a club. I mean, if you look at any other season, if you ignore the situation with the protests and stuff, if there's no love between the players and the squad, then you've got a football club that's got problems there, and that's why you need players like Johnny Jackson to try and keep that relationship going.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at what we've been through in the last 2-3 years or whatever, and you try and imagine that without a Chris Solier or Johnny Jackson there, I don't think we can even start to comprehend how worse it would be, because a lot of fans would, you know, Solly and Jacko's a captain, he's seen us win, you know, the League One with a record amount of points and stuff like that. It's something that we all of us fans that hang on to, and it's a special bond that Jacko's had from this club. You know, he didn't come through the youth, but he's built this bond with all of us, and in a way it was quite like when he went off, like every single person, when he went through on goal and he tried to score that goal, it was so disappointing that he didn't score. But like I said, it's not officially his last game, but everyone wanted him to score that goal because we knew how, I mean, the valley would have erupted if he scored that, wouldn't he?
I think what it might be though is his last game as captain.
Yeah.
Because you can't imagine he'd still be captain as a player coach.
No.
Mm.
Well, that's a topic for later on in the show as to who will be the next captain. I'm sure we've got a few.
He might not be here yet.
A few in mind. The way the game started, obviously, I mean, there was disruptions as well. It's about 2 or 3 minutes in that the referee had to stop play for a couple of minutes to sort out the balloons and stuff. But I mean, time and time again, it's proven that that's not an issue for the players because they've often gone on to win games. But you know, as far as the fans are now, if you look at the situation around the club, the Australian Football Consortium, the imaginatively named Australian Football Consortium, they were linked with Coventry in the Coventry Telegraph today. So you have to say they're obviously looking at more than one club. So that was one potential light at the end of the tunnel that may have been taken away from us. But that story still opens the guessing that there might be something out there.
Yeah, if both of those are true, they're definitely in a fire cell, aren't they? if they're looking at Coventry as well, so they're obviously keen on trying to pick something up, perhaps a little bit on the cheap because of the situation that both clubs are in. I think you're more likely to get Coventry on the cheap than you would Charlton at the minute.
Coventry's got an issue with their arena, don't they?
It's not theirs.
Well, they've got an issue with everything. Yeah, they've got.
That'd be the thing. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Out there, say, what can we get? You know, the training ground, the full ground. And the team.
But that's going to cost serious money, and that's the point. I mean, you might get the point where a consortium comes in. Yes, Coventry, they're out of the Ricoh Arena at the end of next season anyway. Then why don't we build one for 20 million down the road in a small stadium which can hold the amount of Coventry fans there are currently, and that's enough. Whereas the rumours are it's 50 million for us. Which is serious money.
So. Well, luckily enough, I was thrown a £50 million
note
today.
I picked up a couple. I'm cashing it in.
Yeah, tried to use it down the res of Denmark, didn't I?
Try to get a change from that for £3.
But once the game got started, I mean, it didn't take us too long to get into our stride. I think we scored a good goal though, McGuinness. I mean, if you are going to look at the end of this season and think about what could have been different with what we had, I mean, if you look at the two players, our two top scorers are Ricky Holmes and Josh McGuinness, and they've both missed reasonable amounts of time through injury. You just wonder if it could have been a little bit different if they were both fit.
Yeah, well, you look at McGuinness got injured immediately after scoring that hat-trick, and he was on fire at the time. And I interviewed him here this afternoon after the game, and he admitted himself, knocked the wind out of his sails. He also came back too early from the injury, and it caused him a problem elsewhere, I think he said in his calf. So he was rushed back too soon, and so he really hasn't hit the ground. He hasn't hit his stride again until the last couple of weeks.
You could see it though, couldn't you? Yeah. Like, he had 4 or 5 games where we said, just take him out the side because he was offering nothing. And then the last 3 or 4 games, he's looked so good again up there on his own, being able to hold up the ball, bring others into play, and doing everything that he was doing, you know, through December and early January. So he has been a massive loss. But again, we can't rely on one or two players like we have done this season and have done last season and the season before, and so that's why this summer's going to be so big.
But we were saying how rusty he was looking, but so we had McGuinness and Novak, who came back as like bit part players, so they never really had a consistent run. Well, McGuinness got injured and they were rushed back, but because we had no other alternative, we had to play him. We couldn't start with Hanlon and
Herne
Grant, of course you couldn't. So, and I felt sorry for Josh because you could see he was struggling.
Yeah.
You could see he was rushed back too soon. It was interesting, like you say, Tim, that he admitted that he was rushed back too soon.
midway through the first half, we saw that disallowed goal for Jason Pearce. I mean, as the ball came over there, I think I saw Pearce. He just sort of leaning on the defender.
I think McGuinness was the one penalised. Just he levered his man out of the way, and Pearce came in behind him. So I think that was that's how I saw it. It may be wrong, but
Other than that, it wasn't the most exciting the first half in terms of football action. Obviously, we had the delay with the balloons and one, and the flashy flare thing, which I was trying to work out what on earth that's called. The flashing.
It's called a flashy flare thing.
Oh, excellent! Yeah,
flashy flare thing.
I'm glad I guessed that correct. but then we got the second goal just before half time, and a player that I'm actually finding quite interesting now, Jake Forster-Caskey. Now he's one who came in, when he was at Brighton, he's a player that certainly had a lot of potential, and he's coming to us. Has he hit the heights we were expecting yet? Has it taken him a while?
You can see there's glimpses, but it's a case of, which he said in his interview last week, you can tell he's got glimpses, you can tell he's technically good, but he needs to add goals to his game. I think the potential's there, I just think it requires someone of getting the best out of him, because he hasn't done it so far at Brighton, maybe, but I think there's stuff there, but it needs someone to find the role in him and get the best out of him and then build a team around him, because you can tell he's technically good.
I mean, Mark, the likes of Forster-Caskey, I remember when Carl was talking in January, you want to sign players who are young, who you can get on a contract, like properly sign them rather than loan them, and that is sort of the mould of what you want, and as a player with technical ability, so is it just a case of making sure we get the best out of him?
Well, the thing is, I'm sat with a programme in front of me and looking at the teams he's been in. We just haven't had a settled team. So sometimes you've got to play alongside someone for a couple of games to know how they're working. And he's played alongside, it seems to be, every midfielder we've got at one time or another. So possibly if you put him in, where's his best role going to be? You know, to behind the front two? Because he's not going to be a holding midfielder because he's too active. But then again, you know, are you going to put him alongside Crofts? I really hope not. or Concert or Haribo. You know, they're all too young in midfield. So I think he has to go into a settled team, but you've got to find out where his best position is, and I don't think you do yet.
But the move that led to the goal was quite a nice move, really. It started off down the right-hand side, where I think it was with Holmes, went over to the far side with Byrne, ball inside. Nice little finish. I mean, it's one of those players, it's a shame he's hitting his sort of run of confidence now with a couple of goals just towards the end of the campaign, really.
Yeah, and I think, like Nave said, he's just one of those players that we haven't really seen enough from. Came in with a lot of hype, I think. You know, it's not that we thought he was world-class or anything like that, but as you say, a young player, we've signed him up on a contract and it just hasn't really worked. But I don't know, I thought Swindon were terrible, so it's difficult really to put it into too much perspective because the opposition was so poor, and it was last day of the season, pressure was off, and as I say, we're used to doing this on the last game of the season. So
we wonder how Swindon would have been if they'd had to win to stay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't think they'd have made the changes they made, to be fair.
No.
I think it'd be interesting on Forster-Caskey, if you think about Forster-Caskey, if you hark back to the first game he played, where he was outstanding. He played he was great in that first game he played for us, and everybody was raving about him. And then Carl came out in the press conference afterwards and said, just hold on, and I've said it to him, he's got to do that every week.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember thinking that answer was really weird, so, because we're looking at a new signing. We've seen him play 100% of games he played at that point was excellent, and Carl's kind of going,
everybody calm down, he's got to be able to do that every week. So obviously there's a reputation there that he can't do it every week, or doesn't do it every week for whatever reason. So maybe we have to hold back on the enthusiasm, because clearly there's an issue. It might be injuries, who knows, or again, as Mark said, he's got to play on a settled side before you can really tell.
We've got to half time now. Obviously at the half time break, you try to at Charlton try and take a little break from watching terrible football, but then you get the crossbar challenge. Charlton haven't hit the crossbar challenge all season. It's been rolled over for the entirety of the campaign. So that was.
I'm going to enter it in about 3 years' time. It'll be worth a fortune.
I reckon out of all the 23 home games, I reckon three of them have got it off the floor.
There was one got very close a couple of weeks ago.
But she's the lady. I think the lady probably had the best one. Yeah. But that old geezer done it, I think everyone wanted him really to get it, didn't he? I wanted him to get it so bad, but...
Bless him, he couldn't lift himself off the ground.
But there's a theory that obviously the prize money rolls over every week, so now on £10,500, if we can hold it out long enough, then whoever wins it can buy the club. And we'd be alright. So at the start of the second half, I was showered with £50 million worth of fake money. But I mean, at the start of the second half, we got that third goal not too long after. But did that come after? Yeah, it did come after the chance for Jackson, didn't it? And I mean, if that had gone in, that would have just been like as we mentioned earlier, up there with the Chris Powell moment. I mean, because you just will. I mean, Jackson's a hero, and you just will for something like that just to finish off the season on a high.
Yeah, I think he said in his interview, he refused to look across to the bench because he's sure that they would have told him he shouldn't be that far up because he spent a good 10 or 15 minutes virtually beside Josh McGinnis, didn't he? And he admitted that it seemed like some of the players were actually desperate to feed him to get him to score.
Yeah, and then there was the third goal. Again, a nice... This is a weird finish, actually. It was a lovely move again.
Very clever finish, I thought.
But, the finesse on it, it seemed to take forever to curl around the goalkeeper along the ground and just sneaking it at the far post. But, I mean, just desserts for Ricky Holmes. He's got his man of the season, player of the season award just before the game. And, I mean, he's... I don't think you can question whether he deserved that, can you?
No, you worry where we'd be without him as well. And as I say, we've been too over-reliant yet again on one or two players, and he's the pinnacle of that. Without his goals, we'd probably be down, to be honest. He's been a breath of fresh air. He's so exciting to watch down the wing, and especially when we lost Lookman in January, he's just kind of stepped up and taken that mantle on to be that attacking, creative player for us. I desperately hope he stays for next year. I don't know how easy it's going to be to keep him, but yeah, it was as you say a bit of an unusual finish, and not one of his 30 yarders that we're used to seeing, but just as important, and just as you say, puts the icing on the cake for him after what will have been a really good day.
There wasn't much that really happened after, was there, in terms of on the pitch? I was just looking through my tweets, there's nothing in there really. It was just a bit of a stroll to the end of the season.
No,
after
Grant
that.
Came on and put himself around. Yeah. He had a very nice one at the end. I'm not his biggest fan.
No, me neither.
I just think to myself, you know, I can't see... I think he needs at least a season playing regularly. Constantly, yeah. Even if it's League Two.
I think he should be loaned out. I mean, he scores regularly in the under-23s, and so there's something there. And we know there is, because when he first appeared, you thought, oh, hello. And then he was ruined by being overplayed. And you're right, I think, Mark, I think he does need a season on loan somewhere.
We had the debut of Aaron Barnes as well, didn't we?
That's about... positive. He's a player. His dad follows me on Twitter. Has a lot of players.
is that a group of people? Players whose dads follow you on Twitter?
Put that in his bio.
follow
the minute.
But Carl did talk about a couple of weeks ago about how he was willing to start blooding youngsters towards the end of the campaign, and we've seen, like we say, Kagan, and I agree with Mark, I'm not his biggest fan either, to be honest. I think he's failed to really grasp his opportunities when he's coming, in my opinion. But Aaron Barnes is one we haven't really seen yet, and that's a player that is something to look forward
comes
to.
Comes with a quite high recommendation from the academy setup, and people are raving about Aaron Barnes as being one of our next players to come through.
And it's not exactly out of the ordinary for a young player to all of a sudden next season find himself as the first name on the team sheet here as well. So he might be involved a lot more next season.
Well, it is one of the key reasons why we do so well in the academy, because we've got a history of playing if they're good enough, they're old enough type strategy. Now, sadly, in the last couple of years, we sell them on before they realise some decent stuff with us, and let's hope that changes.
Right, I think it's about time we're going to head in towards the Carl Robinson interview now, his final exclusive interview with Charlton Live of the season. Just before that, Charlton Exile is Carl Robinson's biggest fan. says, obviously I'm looking forward to the Carl Robinson interview, brackets not, but please, where do we go from here? Something has to change. So after we hear from Carl, we'll talk about what Carl said. We'll also talk about the protest in a bit more detail today. We've got a couple of tweets about that. Billy Hendricks has sent in a good tweet as well about when I've asked people...
He's just singing Rod Stewart songs.
Is that someone else? Is that a joke for...
No, Billy Hendricks, that is just Rod Stewart song.
Oh, right.
He's tweeted.
How you about... Oh, yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I would have read that out without noticing that.
Talk about it. That one.
Yeah. Karaoke provided by Nate.
Excellent. Right, let's hear from Carl Robinson, who came into... talk to us after the 3-0 win over Swindon today.
Joined by Carl Robinson in the studio after an emphatic 3-0 victory over Swindon, and you had that game to the season, to the time you've been here, Carl, and have you got a way of summing it up?
Yeah, we're on the right road. We've still got to work hard on certain rotations and fluidity and flexibility within our movement patterns, but and I'm more of an aggressive nature in the outer possession stuff. I'm more of a ruthless mentality in the final third, because once again today, for all our dominance, we could have gone clear and put that way out of sight. And if we're going to win leagues and be successful, you've got to be willing to score 3 and 4 goals at home. There'd be the odd game, you've got a nickel on nil and we're all biting our fingernails, but certain games you've got to put to bed very quickly. And there were two players in the crowd here today. Hopefully we're trying to get done. Hopefully they've enjoyed the experience. I've certainly seen Charlton in its light anyway, completely. And hopefully they'll... but we still work very hard on contractual things and so many different ventures that we're just... It's going to be a long, long road.
Yeah, I suspect when a lot of people are looking at today's game and, they, you know, it's been a disappointing season, of course, everybody's going to... It's clear to see. And then everybody will be going, oh, looking forward to the break. I suspect that you're probably... Not having a break, you're right on it straight away.
No, I've got to spend a bit of time now, watching my family, and I'm in every day for the next two or three weeks, except for Keith Peacock's golf day, which you can never turn that down, because Keith gets upset at you, so, but other than Keith's golf day, I'll be in most days, at meeting agents, meeting new players, watching the training ground take shape as well. I don't know if people have seen it looks amazing. The pitch is going to be phenomenal. The community centre on the back of the Sparrows Lane, it equally looks sensational. Just seeing diggers in there and starting to really grow some momentum in some ways, and hopefully I can be part of the rebuilding process.
And next season, therefore, I'm assuming you've got targets, you've got players, you say this to already here today, others that I'm sure you're looking at.
Yeah.
Makes next season, with what you've just described, quite a big season.
Yeah, listen, you can never get away from what's going on either, but we've got to solely focus on what our job is, and that's being professional and doing our job to the best of our ability for the fans, and working for the club. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. Hopefully we can really move forward as a group.
And apologise, I've got to ask this, I'm sure you've been asked it elsewhere. Everything that's surrounding the club at the moment, there's uncertainty from the fans' point of view, at least.
Yeah.
Have you got a sense of certainty as to what you're doing now for the months ahead?
Listen, I've got a plan as if I'm going to bring the players in to move forward. I'll sit down about myself with the club and see what direction everyone wants to go in. And that's the most important thing, is that I want to be here and be successful. And that's the be-all and end-all, really. Not just in this, just to be a number. I don't mean that to sound rude or disrespectful. I want to be successful. I love winning. I love winning. And I work my hardest to try and manufacture that. And I love when players manufacture and work their socks off and give everything they can towards a victory. It's no greater feeling in life. You see, I know a different sort of sport, but you see Anthony Joshua that last night pushed to a wall that not many men actually get to, a wall where you question yourself and how far can you actually go. And when you dig so much deeper and find an element in you that has not been seen before and you still come out victorious, it means so much more. And as a human, you should always push yourself to the limits, physically, mentally, to really challenge yourself. Otherwise, you've wasted your life. And a challenge should always be accepted. And I really want to be successful, and I know sort of the players do want to be here. So I think that's my message, is... Let's have a go. Let's do what we got to do, because I can't hang around the table. It's not to play for, and it's not what we're made for. Certainly not what Charlton Athletic would have been here to do either.
Well, it's good news to hear, of course. And if you can enjoy the break, please do.
I'll try.
Thanks.
Golf will get better.
from our point of view, thanks for coming in and doing the.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I just hope that everybody really sees the direction and maybe the ships, maybe the brakes are firmly on now. Now it's about restarting them engines and moving forward. But the financial support and the recruitment element and left to us to get that right, and building a team that is psychologically strong and physically willing to go to wars, like we just said before. And I want to thank everyone for the support, the constant support. We were going to go and do a lap of appreciation at the end, but obviously I was the one who kicked the ball out to let them have a game of 20v20 to see who really won. But I want to thank everyone for the support, and hopefully today is giving a little bit of glimmer of hope and what we expect in the future. Listen, we know Swindon are miles off with the team they play today, so we can't carry away with that, but certainly the way we did it and the work ethic was certainly there.
Well, congratulations on the win.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Finish. Enjoy your song.
Top man, thank you.
Has it over halfway, going on a run. Holmes still on the ball, heading towards the corner of the penalty area, gets the ball in the box. Novak with the header,
it's a goal!
Oh, what a goal! Lee Novak with a superb glancing header from a magnificent Holmes cross, puts Charlton in the lead.
From the home of time, this is Maritime Radio.
Great. Get out of the way, Stroud, you moron!
Charlton Live.
Always trying to fit that in towards the end of the season there. Well, that was an interesting interview with Carl Robertson, was it?
And now, I did tell you.
Yeah, see, now, I hadn't spoken to Terry until we came into this studio about 25 minutes before the show this evening. But the first thing I asked Terry was, how was Carl after the game? Because I did a separate interview for radio, and it was a fairly standard interview until we got right to the end. And then I sort of said to Carl, but you can't wait to get your teeth stuck into your job in the summer. And he just said, let's just get today over and see how it goes. And I thought that was a really weird non-committal answer. I tried to ask him a question after, just off the record, and he walked away. He wouldn't answer my question. So now I'm thinking, that just put something in my head. What the hell is going on? And then Terry, I hear your interview as well. And the seeds in your head as well.
Well, he drifted out to, once I asked him about would he have the, does he have the confidence to have the next few months to do the work that he's got to do. And up to that point, and in previous interviews, it's always been, planning, we're doing this. And in that one, on this, and today's answer, he was very non-committal. But then, a couple of minutes later, once he starts then going back to talking about the future, etc. So it was a very mixed bag, and left me wondering which bit's the real bit.
And I had exactly the same. There was a lot of, I started off our interview talking about Jacko, because it's Jacko, and we were talking about Jacko's going to be great for this club going forward, all this sort of thing. And then he was talking about how he hopes that the form we've shown over the last few games, fans will see we're trying to build something, see we're trying to get somewhere. I mean, after what happens... has happened in both our interviews. Now I'm thinking, is he sending that message to someone else other than the fans? Because is he trying to defend his job? Does he think he might? I mean, the way it panned out today just left more questions unanswered than it did answer some, in my opinion.
I think we're writing probably on the wall for him. Can we explain why Barker's gone and the other coach?
O'Loughlin. Simon Clark's gone. I've heard O'Loughlin's going as well.
So, he's probably told them, get yourself sorted out because I'm going to be off as well, because there's no guarantee if he goes somewhere that they'd say, right, you can bring everyone with you, so everyone for themselves, that would be very quick to happen within a week. So that could be, if he knew something was up,
then maybe he's put the message out there to
his
face. There's obviously there's two reasons why he could be shipped out of here, and the first one is because we ain't won that many games underneath him. And the other one is because there could be a takeover. So do you think he's got the? He's been given the message somewhere from either one of those reasons?
From that interview, it seemed very frosty. And like you said, it was very non-committal. But we spoke on Thursday about, if Barker was going because they knew something, then why wouldn't Robinson resign? But then you go back to, if he doesn't resign, he's going to have to be pushed, which means he's going to get a payout.
Isn't he? Yeah, don't resign in this day and age.
That's what I mean. So... On Thursday, I thought Robbo was going to be here, but after hearing that, I'm starting to question if he actually is, especially if Cole's going, Barker's going, and Simon Clark's going. That's literally the main coaching setup that's going now, so be interested to see how it pans out.
Simon Clark going didn't surprise me as much. Because he was already here when Cole Robinson came. The fact that... Carl Robinson brought in Barker, because Barker and Robinson worked together a lot over the years, and then
for him to be going before the end of the season does seem very strange to me. Whether or not that's because he said, well, look, I won't be here much longer, so you better find a job. I find that slightly more difficult to believe. But what I'm, what I tend to believe is perhaps that they've said, well, we're just not sure what's happening. If let's say there is teeth and meat on the bones to the rumour that there's interest in the club from outside and it may well be bought. If that's the case, then maybe they've said, well, you know, we promised you this, this, and this, and this money wise, and you can do this, this, and this. Well, actually, no, we can't. Because we don't know whether we'll still be owners of this club in 3 months' time.
So if it's hanging over them, they're thinking of selling, then why on earth would Rowland go out and spend £3 million on players this summer if he's almost straight away going to sell the club for the same value that it was before he sent that £3 million?
Well, if they're non-contract players, and we think the two of the players that were potentially in the stands, one of them almost certainly is out of contract. So it wouldn't cost a fee. And with loan players going back, in terms of how much it costs the club, it'd just be a similar wage bill, so it won't have such an impact. So in that case, in that respect, if they're both non-contract players, it won't have such a financial hit on the club, and so he won't have to spend any money, so it doesn't matter, I'm guessing.
London Inner Geezer says Robertson going, please make it so. He's certainly not his biggest fan. And then Daryl tweeted in during the interview saying Carl Robertson told Cheltenham Live that the much stalled new training ground looks sensational. Does he like big piles of soil? And we saw the video that the club put out during the week. I mean,
there were some big piles.
Yeah, they are some massive. I mean, they needed a drone to go up and film the from on top of the piles. But I mean, they are some big impressive piles of soil.
That's a whole other show. That one
you've heard that phrase before, haven't you?
Once or twice.
Right, so Billy Hendricks, just as we mentioned it before, turns out he's a singer, Rod Stewart fan in his spare time. I asked people what they thought about the season. He said, I don't want to talk about it, how they broke my heart. If they stay here just a little bit longer, if they stay here, will they sell my club? Which is apparently a Ross Stewart song.
Well, except for the very last bit about the sell my club bit. I think he's improvised there.
I mean, Cardiff got a little bit of money in their coffers. Do you think they can hire Rod Stewart to sing that for them?
I think Rod Stewart would sing in front of a bus queue.
As long as someone pays. Well, we talked about the protests as well. Now, we've got a couple of points. I'm going to go first onto an email, actually, from Chris Davin, who's our only person who's emailed in so far this evening. We've got more tweets than emails, which is unusual. So if you want to email in studio at chartonlive.co.uk, yeah, because Mark's here, send in an email.
Else is at the pub.
Yeah, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live if you want to have your say, especially if you heard anything in that Carl Robertson interview that me and Terry certainly feel like we heard today. It was just planted a little seed in our head. But this is from Chris Davin, who tends to email in every week, and he emailed this at 3:30 this afternoon, so probably can't have been long after he got home from the game, so we're very grateful for that. Chris says, so the season draws to a close with a decent performance in a 3-0 win, and Rowland and co no nearer leaving. The end game protest was a bit of a non-event. All the boycotters who vowed to return for today protest didn't bother. Says a lot that does, and that's it. The pitch invasion at the end was more party time than anger, and there you have it. Can't for the life of me work out why some pitch invaders hugged Robinson at the end. What for finishing 13th, congratulating him on his success. His inflated ego must have grown even more at those fans' gestures. I saw him do the punching his chest thing, love the club nonsense, I nearly threw up. So all back at the Valley next season with nothing changed. You can't blame Card for the protest failures. They're doing their best. But may as well not bother and give the remaining funds to a local hospice. Chucking things on the pitch and shouting at windows has had its day. No one's at fault, but a pointless waste of time and energy, and now money as well. And then we had another tweet, which was from John. He said, the protest failed to capitalise on the numbers initially gathered. Atmosphere in the West was largely flat, and there was no plan once they were in. It was a wasted opportunity. And what did you think about the protest? I'll ask you, Mark, actually, because it'd be interesting to see from someone who hasn't been on the show as much this season. How do you feel about the protest? What did you think about today's protest?
Well, we got here and everyone was blocking up the car park, which seemed to be an effective thing like we'd been done before and was more effective. It's difficult to say how effective it is in the long run. I think he's more bothered when you go on his doorstep. I think the Belgium trips have much more effect on him than what happens here, because it's... Now, he's obviously had to fork out for stewards today and extra police. And, you know, people did come along and get behind it. But it did seem a little... not half-hearted, because the people who are protesting, it's 100%. Mm. But, you know, I was out there in the car park about a year ago, and there was what, 4,000-5,000 people. And today, you know, it's conservatively 800.
Yeah, it's the numbers that I think are the hardest part to get, because, I mean, last season we were all still, like, when we all bought season tickets at the start of last season, we were coming down and seeing a team that won the first couple of games. This was a Charlton that we'd finished mid-table of the league the season before, ended quite well. We think we might go somewhere this year. So last season, a lot of people had season tickets. This year, not as many people have season tickets at all. And I think that the numbers probably affect what Card can do, really. I guess there's, without the numbers of support behind them, they're sort of. You know, what can they do? I mean, I thought today's it got media attention. I mean, I don't tell, like, BBC London what to put on. I tell them what's happening, and if they want to talk about it, they do. And they came to me to ask about everything, including the bit where they threw the money. I mean, there's still media interest for it, even though there wasn't as many fans taking part.
I think that email is pretty spot on in that it just seems a bit more flat. And I think so. My girlfriend came to the game today. It's the first time she'd been when there was a protest, and she was a bit like, "Is this it? Like, is this all that happens?" And it did. It seemed quieter than the other ones have been. I think there are less people here, and I think people. There was so much anger in the second half of last season, especially, and I think that anger. We used the word apathy a lot last season, and it's even more so now. And people, kind of just can't be bothered anymore. I saw a lot of people criticising Card afterwards, and I think that's wrong, because, you know, they're not the only people that have to come up with these ideas. If people have got ideas, do it. And obviously, we know people who are part of Card, and they've said it's hard to think of new ideas now. It's hard to think of ones that are going to be safe, are going to get people's attention,
and be legal as well. Because
if
you're part of Card, you have to be legal, because you've put yourself out there.
There's a huge amount of planning that has to go into them, and so I think they've gone back to things that they know are possibly going to work. They did, as you say, gain media attention. There were a lot of people in the ground who were, you know, the songs were louder, the banners were there, so it was different. It just wasn't quite as angry as it has been in the last few.
I think about 10 minutes before the game started, where they did, "This is a customer announcement." And
it was booed, wasn't it?
I thought they were going to tell me there was a special on bees or something. But when it was you're a customer, I'm thinking, I know it's a phrase they like to use, but to have someone say, "This is a customer announcement, stay off the pitch, don't throw things."
It's a bit belittling, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was just annoying.
I think what happened yesterday at Leyton Orient probably coloured the way they were thinking a fair bit, because, I mean, probably unprofessionally, I'm going to fully throw my support behind what happened at Leyton Orient yesterday. I think things have absolutely reached the end of their tether there at that place. And I think what happened after, when the EFL lied, the English Football League and whoever's in charge of doing the tannoy lied to the supporters, I thought it was an absolute disgrace. And I think obviously what they were worried that similar was going to happen today. Charlton fans weren't going to do that to the end of the game. But you know that's probably why they were giving all those announcements. But is there any real issue with fans going on the pitch at the end of the season to have a peaceful protest?
Well, in the normal course of events, we've had pitch invasions at the end of seasons, because it's something that fans just like to do, and then they all drift off and players come round and say thank you for the support and clap, and that's what happens in the normal end of season scenario. So if it's not illegal then and nobody cares, quite why it's illegal, just because on this occasion you might be coming on to say we don't like you very much, is the only difference. And the club want to obviously stamp their authority to say you can't do it. Now, that's their prerogative, of course. I thought they did it rather badly today. I think it was very poorly done. And the trouble with that is, by trying to stop people just physically coming onto the pitch, then you've got confrontation. And that happened a lot in the bottom right-hand corner of the Covenant. A lot of confrontation, a lot of ugly scenes in terms of people being wrestled to the floor. And I'm sure nobody was, or I hope at least, nobody was injured so much in that. But it just attracts confrontation, which does nobody any good. It doesn't do the club any good, because that just gives a bad impression. It leaves a bad taste in the mouth. And you saw at one point the police coming on and then drawing a line, making a line across the centre circle. All they needed to do was that a bit further up very quickly. And then the fans could still come on the pitch, still vent their anger, but it's controlled. And nobody's, everybody associated with the club must know that there are protests and there are people unhappy. To try and stop that is utterly pointless, because that doesn't make people aren't going to come here and think, oh, they don't like it, I won't do it then. That's the point. The point is, because you don't like it, is why they're going to do it. So let them do it. Because, let's face it, if you were doing, if everything was running properly, it wouldn't happen. So if you want to stop it, don't hire 50 blokes the size of a toilet. Do it right. Do the job right. Get this club back where it belongs, get it properly sorted, and you won't find that protest. Easy.
It's interesting, because I do want to talk about the Leighton Orient situation, because I do feel that there's a lot of parallels with our one. But
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's just so bizarre that the EFL's way to deal with what happened yesterday was to license the supporters and just get the game off. on rather than worry about what's actually happening in their football club. I mean, Leighton Orient staff, and this is, I don't care about the Leighton Orient players, no offence. They probably don't earn that much, but they earn more than we do in our normal day jobs. Leighton Orient staff, day-to-day staff, were not getting paid, and EFL didn't care. They didn't do anything about it apart from ask Leighton Orient to pay them. Oh, please pay them. Mm. Didn't happen for a few weeks. They didn't. They went out of their way to not care about sorting out those people who support a member club for, and if they didn't have 24 member clubs in each league, then EFL wouldn't have a business. They didn't care about that. Yet, when that happened, they were really eager to make sure the last 6 minutes of a pointless game. If you saw the way that last 6 minutes was played out, they were really eager to make sure that Leighton Orient went on the pitch and passed it amongst their back four for 6 minutes, just to keep the integrity of the competition. The way that you fix these things, surely, is you fix the way your clubs are managed. And the EFL, the Football League, and obviously the clubs themselves have to take some sort of that responsibility.
That statement they put out the other day as well, which said, our fit and proper persons test looks at them coming in, but can't tell them what to do once they're in and can't control that. We know what it is. We know that that's what it does, but it shouldn't. The point is that that's not good enough, because look what's happening to all the clubs. So you can't just go, that's how it is. You're the people in charge. You can change these things. Don't just say, well, that's how it is. Do something about it. Change it. Make it better. Because look at, as you say, how can a club like Leighton Orient be where they are now? How is that fair? How is it fair for Coventry? And I also think maybe that has a slight bearing on our protest as well, because there's so many clubs now in states like that that maybe some people are thinking, do you know what? Ours isn't as bad as that.
Mm. I mean, you're talking about an organisation which, if you were to make four changes to your side in a chequered trade meaningless cup competition, you get fined heavily and criticised heavily, yet you can make 10 changes in a crunch game in the English Championship, which affects about six clubs.
You're talking about Birmingham Huddersfield.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you can make 10 changes and nobody bats an eyelid. Mm.
Oh, I'm getting wound up again.
that's the only thing they've quite cared about the whole season is EFL check yourself, wreck yourself, whatever it is, trophy it is. Because if you go to a Chelsea or Southampton under 23 side, how much has that benefited their team? Absolutely nothing. Because who's in the final? No disrespect. Who's in the final of that?
It was Oxford and Coventry.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So it's not made any sort of relevance or no, you know. The bigger sides with the under-23s ain't really helped. They played a couple of games where you're playing League One opposition where they don't really care about it anyway. But that's what that's what they've achieved this season.
It was to bring through the impressive youngsters from the under-23 Premier League sides. Those under-23 Premier League sides that had 60% foreign players.
for going against a team like Charlton, who, to be fair, no one gives a...
Choose your words quite at the end.
Gives a... care about it. Gives a care about
admirable
it.
Restraint,
yeah. Like, no one gives a care about it, but then they'll let people like, yeah, we're similar to Leighton Orient, but Leighton Orient have just dropped out of Football League. That's the difference between, you know, us and Leighton Orient. They've just dropped out from how many years, when they were in a playoff final the other year, and now they're playing likes of Bromley. Know, mate, Bromley, yeah, no, just, yeah, we like Bromley. But, you know, do you know what I mean? And that's the difference. But they don't really give two hoots about it, and that's yeah.
That's because another
thing.
One will come up and they still get their number of clubs in there. And it's all about what goes on in the boardroom. They don't really give a monkey's about anything.
No, they don't. They couldn't care.
We've taken this conversation onto the EFL. I wasn't really expecting it to go this way, but it's how it's gone. But, so now I will ask the question. I'll look at it from the other side. Now, I've blamed the EFL, and I feel, what can... But the question I have to ask myself, what can they do? What can the EFL do if there's a business which is owned by someone else, which, I mean, they've allowed this business into their football league structure. Do they just turn around and kick them out if they don't play by the rules? But if they do that, then they're going to lose clubs. So what can the EFL do to make sure the clubs are run better? And this includes the likes of Leyton Orient, includes a lot of Coventry, includes the likes of Blackburn, Blackpool, and obviously includes Charlton Athletic.
Well, I think a few things, that because ultimately... owners come into football for a variety of different reasons. I'm sure there are come that just come in thinking, I'll make my money out of this, I'll loan them, I'll earn interest. I'm sure that happens. There are other owners who come in thinking they can change the world and I'm going to have the best side on the planet because I'm going to do this, and that fails miserably. I think any owner that comes in, and the fit and proper thing shouldn't just stop when you're buying it, it should be a long ongoing process. So therefore, if at the end of the season everything you've done doesn't work, then there should be some form of saying, well, hold on, the club's just come from that position and now they're two divisions below all of a sudden, because so obviously what you're doing is wrong. What are your plans? What is your long term goal? Are you just going to sell the kids off, asset strip? What are your long-term goals? And if there's something physically in writing or recorded to say, I don't have any intention to sell the ground, I'm desperately trying to, it didn't go right, it's gone wrong, then it's physically in writing. If that then doesn't come true, if then they try to sell the ground, then there should be embargoes to be able to be put in place, because they said that's categorically not what they said was going to happen. So, like, for example, when Coventry went back to the Rico, there should have been, and the Football League should have been part of it, to say... Right, they're coming back to the stadium. You can't just give them a five-year deal here. This is their ground. You know, this is historically where they should be playing. You've got to give them 100 years. No brainer. Just they're there for the life of the club. Not, we'll give you 2 years, see where you are, and then we might be able to chuck you out. What? How can the Football League stand by and watch that happen? Orient, they've got an owner who's put absolutely no money in, by the looks of it, and just allowing the team to be rubbish and constantly drop out of the club. That's, you know, nobody would think that that's a good idea. So there's got to be embargoes in place. And so if this owner is just thinking, well, I'll just milk it dry and I don't really care, then they personally should be fined. There should be things in place that absolutely personally fine the owners out of their pockets, not out of the debt to the club, out of their pockets to say, well, you haven't done this right. A bit like Ofcom or whatever.
And that should be a clause of entry into the Football League.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, okay. We've wound ourselves up enough. Let's have a little break, and I think after we come back from this, we're going to have our end of season quiz. Always fun, always enjoyable. Normally I win, but unfortunately I'm not playing this year, but we'll have our end of season quiz.
You've got
in 30 seconds.
Eventually manages to turn, it falls to Tony Ward!
Yeah!
Strikes it into the far post.
Charlton Live.
Hello?
From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio. Greenwich.
I don't do mine, I let my missus does it. He obviously gets bullied and lets his missus, he does it.
Charlton Live.
Imagine thinking we'd go for the end of the season show without hearing that.
We've just got to get him in just for him to do it live.
Well, he's signed a
contract. We've got another year of him, haven't we? Lucky us. So.
Next time he comes into the early next season.
Those three things today.
Early next season when it's time for like an interview with Andrew Cross, we're going to be sitting there thinking, Andrew, what do you do when you need to find out how much something weighs? Do you have to weigh it? Right, end of season quiz time. You guys are sat evenly in teams already, so we're going to have Tom and Mark versus Nathan and Terry. Now, Terry, you've been to pretty much every game this season. You must have missed one or two.
I've missed a couple, yeah.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean anything. I don't remember what happened 5 minutes ago, let alone what happened.
That's a good point. Yeah,
ago.
I'm Louis, by the way. how do you rate your memory? You won the Christmas quiz against Lewis, didn't you? That was on a tiebreak, if I remember rightly.
Mate, I still smashed it though. You win it though, don't you?
And he just had 16 pints of Foster's as well.
once again, actually, just remembering, I haven't actually set a tiebreak question for this one either, as I hadn't at Christmas. So try not to do that. Mark, how do you rate your Charlton knowledge? Are you a bit of a geek like I am?
I've missed 3 home games this season.
Yeah.
For various reasons. So can't think if I've been away this year. But no, I mean, it depends how far you go back. It was just this season, yeah, or whether you've gone back.
Sort it's of only this season. But are you the sort of man who listens to Charlton Live of an evening and take notes, for example?
I don't listen to you on a Thursday, I'm afraid.
Fuming.
Tom, fancy yourself in this?
Nah. I've seen a lot of football, I just don't remember. It's going to be questions about goal scorers and that, I don't remember.
Have you got any questions on the 1947 Cup Final? Because I've got to tell my team, so it should be all right.
Joe, have you listened to Thursday Show, by the way?
Yeah.
I will do them anyway.
I did have it down as a podcast, but it's going in a bin.
Right, excellent. Okay,
can I just give a stat before we start? Just to prove I do know stuff.
No,
yeah, as well. Just to prove I do know stuff, because this will be the last opportunity I have to prove I know stuff, is that win today was our third on the bounce, right?
Yeah. Is that your stat?
We haven't done that since February 2015.
Oh, alright.
Wow.
That's question 4 ruined.
I was hoping that would be the case.
So I would have no idea. Or
right.
2010 or something.
If, obviously you want to know what the buzzers are for it. If it's, if you get the answer, I don't think you win any prizes for guessing this one, but if you get the answer correct.
you guys can't hear that.
Oh, no. Okay, no, you won't be here. That's basically Andrew Cross going
away.
So who's this up? Yeah. Mine and Tails?
No, that's if you get it correct, you'll get away.
Right, okay. I won't be honest. Yeah.
And then is it moron?
If you get it wrong,
you're a moron.
Yeah, so
that's going to say sick one from Slade.
We might hear that a bit.
That's how it's going to go. Right, so now we need to decide which team's going to go first. So, Terry, heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails.
Oh no.
Right,
so we got that
start. Good start.
Do you want to go first or second, Till?
We'll go first. Come on.
Yeah, come on, we'll live the dream.
Well, I've actually recycled some of these questions from Christmas because I was being lazy.
Oh, you'll be alright then.
Yes, right. Well, hang on, don't put the pressure on, Till.
Right, Terry and Nathan, what was our first win this season?
That was. It's not so easy once you had some Fosters.
Does it get passed across if I don't get it?
You can do it, but there's no points in it there.
Northampton, a draw.
Lost the
Shrewsbury.
First one. Yes.
Shrewsbury at home.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Boom!
That's
there
annoying.
You go.
So
that's 1-0.
So we've actually got that.
I love.
Oh, well.
So that's
what
we do.
Right. Okay, hands over to Mark and Tom. Right, the question for you is, what was our first away win of the season? No, looking at phone.
Game off!
Well, he's got competitive, Nathan, isn't he?
Yeah.
What are we going for?
Yeah, it was.
Warsaw.
Yeah. Well played.
Correct, right, so that makes it 1-0. I'll put a few easy questions at the start to...
That was easy. Thanks, mate.
That was easy.
That took us 10 minutes.
So you guys don't embarrass yourselves.
Too late.
Right, back to Terry and Nathan. Terry and Nathan, play along at home, by the way, if you want. It's pointless tweeting in because you're not playing.
Yeah, you can tweet us in just before we give the answer.
Yeah.
So, Terry and Nathan, who scored our first goal of this season?
Oh, that was. Who was our first game? Was it Northampton?
Bury away was the first game.
Yeah, so it was Northampton. Jacko Edo, wasn't it? At home. Jacko.
What?
Jacko at home, Northampton?
2-1. 2-1, excellent stuff. Right, so we move back over to Tom and Mark. Who scored our first goal of 2017?
Yeah, I know this one.
So it was Bristol, wasn't it? So McGuinness got a hat-trick. Did he score the first one? And who got the fourth?
McGuinness,
yeah, let's go with him.
McGuinness?
Hey.
Good.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, he got his hat trick that day. We also scored our first goal. We had been 1-0 down in that game against Bristol Rovers. Right.
How many are there?
80. Oh, no. there's 10 for each team. Who knocked us out of the League Cup this season?
Oh, hang on. Was that the 1-0 I'm thinking at the beginning of the season? Is that League Cup? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Mm. Cheltenham away, 1-0.
Yep.
Well, Mark, got you on the side for that. Yeah, no, it was Cheltenham. A game I'll never forget. So who knocked us out? You two. Who knocked us out of the FA Cup this season?
Milton Keynes.
Yeah. All right. So after the easy question, two apiece. Sorry, three apiece. After that, yeah, even though I've made a.
Oh, you've got a special there, Lou.
It's got
it's going swimmingly.
Got conditional formatting on and everything. This
some.
Yeah. Right, now we're playing hardball. How many goals did we score in the FA Cup this season, Terry and Nathan?
Cheers, Tel. I'll go to the toilet.
Well, we didn't last long, did we?
Right, so we came in, what, is it first or second round? So we have first round.
We came in the early rounds, yeah. Obviously.
We didn't come, did we start first round?
Yeah, we must have done.
So, who did we have? Right, we lost MK. We've got replay. I'm saying this out loud, even though can they steal this? They can,
apparently
can't
they? Not.
Oh, well, if you say it out loud, they can, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, we've got to do mine.
No, they can't steal it. So how many goals did we score in the FA Cup this season?
What was the MK Don's draw result? Was it no goals or what?
MK, is that a game we done? Yeah, that was a game me and Tom done. Chico scored, so it was either 1-1, we lost 3-1. Right, so that was 1. And then we lost at home. To MK.
You can only lose one game in the FA Cup.
Did we beat Scunthorpe in the FA Cup? Yeah, so that was 2, so that's 3. Adamola, 3. Should we say 4 or 5? The first round? 4. Yeah. We'll go 4.
You got it correct.
Congratulations.
Right, to Mark and to Tom, we only scored 1 goal in a Checker Trade Trophy game this season. Who scored it?
Hang on.
That's right, we scored some penalties against someone, but that don't count in the penalty shootout. But so 1 goal in the Checker Trade Trophy.
We can't steal it.
Anyway. So Southampton was 0-0 on it and they went to penalties. Yeah. And then Crawley, I think we scored.
Novak's
Colchester. Was it?
I think it was Novak. But...
Oh, no.
Who plays for us?
Because
Lookman scored.
Well, there's conferring in the studio.
We can't steal it anyway, can we?
No.
No, because then we didn't have to. Put that programme away.
Novak.
You moron! You're wrong, I'm afraid. Terry, do you know what it was?
It was away to Colchester, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was a consolation goal at the end.
No, it was a made it 1-1.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Scott Wagstaff.
But it was a pointless goal. Pointless goal at the end, I should say.
I can't remember that. I guess you could describe all our goals this season as pointless, eventually.
It couldn't have been... let's just
Crofty. Was it Crofty?
No, I don't think it was.
It was Nicolas Ajoze away at...
Who?
Oh, of course, he came off and then sat
with Terry. Right, the next question is an audio question. This goes to Terry and to Nathan. I want you to tell me, after what game did we hear these quotes?
What are your feelings after that one?
Sick. Absolutely sick. But of course the fans will think that's my fault. Was all quite vocal in making that point.
Yeah. Terry?
Poor Verlaway.
I don't think I'll ever forget that. Considering what happened to me earlier on in the season when Cheltenham...
You look visibly scared.
Yeah, I was quite comfortable when he came up. I thought he was probably going to be...
But that was Tom's funniest moment of the season, though, saying that on Thursday show. That's his funniest moment.
Just dangle a microphone if you're in place. Russell, how do you feel after that? I feel absolutely sick. And if you ask me another question, I'm going to murder you.
That's when we batted him first off.
One day I'll tell everybody the players' reactions when they got sent out on the pitch in the flip-flops in a freezing cold and pouring rain.
That was very, very funny.
Some quality comments coming
up. A similar question to you. It's also an audio question. I want you two, Tom and Mark, to tell me after which game we heard these quotes.
Some things happened before the game that I've never seen. Some people... Certain things happen at this football club that I've never seen. And I don't know whether they come into work every day and thank their lucky stars that they're in this football club. I'd say 40% of the squad don't care enough.
So we go, heard Carl Robertson speaking to us after a certain game, and I want you two to tell me which game you believe that was.
It weren't Rochdale. I was there. Who else did we play?
40% of the squad didn't care enough.
Oh, what's that?
It's quite specific, actually, when you think about it. 40
Little place near Wales.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
There we go. I didn't think you were going to get there after a while.
I thought you were going to say Rochdale then. No, I knew Shrewsbury.
It was around there.
When you Google Shrewsbury, it will say now, small place near Wales.
Source Tom Wallen.
I'll put it on there tonight.
Wikipedia.
Right, we're back on to the scores currently, by the way, are we have Tom and Mark have 4, and without putting a foot wrong so far, Terry and Nathan have 5. So you're winning so far. You're doing what's called a Luis Mendes in the quiz world.
What, start well and then just falter?
Cheating.
Question number 6 to Terry and to Nath. How many points did Kevin Nugent earn during his temporary reign in charge of them addicts? That's too easy, that one. There we go. All right, that was
halfway as well, wasn't it? Yeah,
exactly.
So this one, no, I feel bad now, because this one's probably a bit harder.
Name every player who started the game versus...
What's Joe Rebo's date of birth?
How many games in all competitions did it take Carl to win a game?
Mountain Games was the first one, and it came in November. So
6, 7. Or did, no? Because was Milton Keynes his first win?
It was the first one.
And when was that?
Boxing Day.
Okay.
6.
Okay. Yeah, 6.
6.
Correct, he's got 6. There you go. Well, I'm not certain, I should have written it down actually, but from the top of my head, I don't think Milton Keynes was his first win.
Did not?
No, although I'm going to have to check that now. So.
Bristol Rovers.
The other day we were talking Bristol Rovers.
No, Bristol Rovers.
Well, Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers he wasn't in charge of, but yeah, it certainly took him
New
6
Year's
games.
Day though. New Year's Day won, didn't he?
New Year.
Yeah, alright, well, whether it was, I counted it, it was 6 games, so you're correct, so maybe I've got myself wrong there. I've failed at my own quiz. Right, we're back onto the audio questions. Now, these questions are goals that have been taken from the CFC player HD commentary, so it should be easy for Terry. But the names have been blanked out, so I want you to tell me who scored the goal. And against whom? So you need both to get the point. So let us know who scored this goal and who it was against.
Declan Rudd's goal kick looks for McGuinness. Tony Watt's also there, and he's actually left it. McGuinness flicks around the corner for closing on a goal. Off the post, we'll have it again, and he scores for Charlton. Equalises for the Addicts, and the second time of asking.
Don't take this a finger. I thought it was Petarco against Rochdale off the post.
Yeah, that's right.
Petarco Rochdale.
Yeah.
Tom's hitting the table because he. That's correct.
That's bonkers, isn't it?
It's another correct answer. Yeah, right. Okay, so it's a very similar question for you guys on the other side of the table. I want you to let me know who scored this goal and who it was against.
To Clough. Clough inside of Solly. Finds Spearing. Close down by Chickson, and it comes left. Comes right to Wheater, crossing opportunity, and Solly manages to get there first. Now Charlton will look to break. Forsakaski, who's nutmegged Thorpe and can bring it forward for Charlton. Wheater's coming back, but Forsakaski still has it. Has options left and right. Finds on the right side.
Oh, 2-1 Charlton!
Converts after a great run from Jake Forsakaski.
Yeah, it's too late. Burnley against Bolton.
Okay.
Nathan Byrne, Bolton.
Yeah.
Correct. Excellent stuff. Right, I thought I made that slightly too difficult. But there we go.
As soon as you were spearing.
Yeah. Spearing was a good voice. Right, excellent stuff. So we're now... we've played 7 each and still yet to put a foot wrong, Mr. Smith and Mr. Mother. So you have 7. Mark and Tom have just 6. You're failing at this task. You're pulling a Roland, as it's known.
Still strong.
Are we that bad?
He should be selected.
6 out of 7.
People chucking beef.
Right now, I think I've given the. Well, I'm going to switch these questions over.
Cause
I won the top.
This is biased.
Right, so the first question is going to go to Terry. And to Nathan, our lowest league away attendance this season was 2,842. Who was it against?
2,840. That's the whole ground. Or just
the whole ground.
League away attendance.
League away
attendance. Right.
So I haven't counted any cup games.
Right. So you're looking at. It's going to be a Tuesday. So who have we played far away on a Tuesday? Fleetwood was a Saturday. Who have we played really far away on a Tuesday? An Oldham?
It could have been Oldham. There was a very low crowd at Oldham. And it looked like there was more Port Vale's, more than that, I'm sure of it. That was a midweek away.
You're going to know more than this than me. So if I had to punch, I'd have to punch at Oldham. But if you think...
I'm trying to think of a midweek away.
Fleetwood was Saturday. Fleetwood,
there was more.
That was a Saturday, and it was early in the season.
Definitely more than Fleetwood. So Oldham's a good shout. Trying to think elsewhere.
Lowest league Shrewsbury of the season.
Chesterfield recently.
That was on a Saturday. Yeah,
Saturday, but it's still quite low.
Yeah, Chesterfield Saturday. Shrewsbury was on a Tuesday. Shrewsbury was later on. I think it's a toss up between Shrews and Oldham.
I'm going to go with Oldham because that was a very poor.
Yeah, well, we'll go Oldham away.
Oldham away.
Yeah.
You moron. Now, your theory was bang wrong because it was actually a Saturday, and I was shocked when I looked through the programme yesterday when I was writing this quiz. It was Rochdale. Rochdale.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the blind bonkers game, didn't they?
Yeah. And I thought it might have been a misprint in the programme, so I actually checked. But yeah, they had a really low attendance.
And that's when they put on the coaches as well, so they still couldn't swing it down.
So there you go. So chance for Tom and for Mark to level things up. I want to know what the highest attendance at an away game was this season. Well, it was 23,308. Who was that against?
Highest.
23,308.
Must be Sheffield United.
Correct. So there you go. So
I'm happy about that. That was a fix. That one.
In our defence, we were out by 100. Between Oldham and
that means you're wrong times 100. That's a lot. That's a lot of wrong.
We would have got that second question. Easy. So that's what I'm saying, mate.
It's too easy. Okay.
Fuming. Sick.
Right.
Absolutely sick.
Ah, help.
To Terry and to Nathan, which loan player has made the most appearances this season?
It's got to be. Yeah, go on. I'm confident that.
In the middle, can't be. Declan Rudd.
Yeah.
Correct. I was hoping that you'd forget about him.
Gosh.
All right. So for Mark and for Tom, which player has made the most appearances this season?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
Should get this.
No.
Is it 35 appearances? Yeah, because it's in today's.
I'd say Croft.
Oh no, 35
pinches
for the
song.
So,
yeah,
I think Crofts. Okay. We're going for
Crofts.
Ooh, hey.
He loves to answer his own questions. Andrew Crofts there.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to put yourself out.
I just didn't want to say his name.
He was the player who'd made. He was ever present up until only about a month ago, wasn't he? When he was
his new contract, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. So we're going into question number 10, and the scores are 8-8. So do you remember when I said try not to go to a tiebreak because I haven't written one? What if you get one of these wrong?
We got that away question deliberately wrong for this, didn't we?
We were trying to be fair, weren't we?
Right. We missed a penalty in the Chequer trade game against Crawley. Who missed it?
Foley crossbar.
You moron!
It was Foley, wasn't it?
You're thinking of the game against Southampton.
Oh, you...
Bennett Novak.
It's Lee Novak, yeah. Oh, so the door's been left wide open here for Tom and for Mark to seal it.
Inconsolable, my German friend.
Right, so here we go. Chance to win it here. Who was sent off in the away game at Oxford?
Oh, behave yourself.
Harry Lennon.
Behave yourself, ref. Despicable ref.
The first ref. Yeah, Lennon.
There we go, we have a winner.
I'm lying with that.
Come from behind. But Tom and Mark have won the Charlton Live end of season quiz.
Never
by 9-8. You get an honorary way each. You can have one more for the road. Here you go. Let's have a quick break and we'll be back for the last few moments of Charlton Live for this season. Give me the slip.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. It's been a delivery towards six shot, but Barrow, the free header will be tapped home again by Texera. It's 3-3. Again, it's a corner, comes in from Jake Forsikowski at the back post. Barrow heads down, and Texera gets the second of the game. Absolutely bonkers here. Bonkers.
Charlton Live.
Hello?
from the home of time. This is Maritime Radio. Greenwich.
Bring on Teixeira. Novak coming on was obvious. Janet Jackson coming on didn't surprise me. Putting him left back did. Janet Jackson coming on didn't surprise me.
Charlton Live. There you go, just rubbing salt into the wounds there. Terry has just lost a quiz and now reminded that he once called legendary Charlton skipper Johnny Jackson, Janet Jackson, inexcusably. Right, we're coming towards the end of the show because I've got an end of season compilation to play out for you guys. But I guess, I mean, just before we sign off for the season, I mean, end of the season, you look towards the summer. How do you see this summer going? Do you see a takeover happening? Do you see no takeover, but the right sort of players coming in? Do you see Carl Robertson still being here next season? There's so many questions. I'll start with you, Tom. You know, you look into your crystal ball. What's going on in the summer?
I think the most likely is that middle one. I don't think there'll be a takeover. I don't know why. I just don't see it happening just yet. I do think Carl's going to be given more rein to sign players than other managers have. I would love a takeover. In an ideal world, I'd then want a different manager as well. But I think the owners will still be here. I think Carl will get some of his signings in. It will be how many of them he gets in and how early he gets them done. Because we've said over and over again that the earlier the better. And if they can have a full pre-season with a decent sized squad, we've got a chance. If he can get one or two in, like we did last year, and that's it, and they come in late, then I don't see next season being any different to this. But yeah, I think that's the way I see it going.
Mark, would you see happening this summer, and would you hope to happen this summer?
Well, it's difficult with the players who are going to be coming back from their different loans, and obviously we let the loans go back. You know, is he going to start next season being told you have to have Mr. Saar? You know, if Mr. Cashy's going to be fit by then? If we manage to get Tex off for Bill... So, under this regime, you know, you could be manager next week. It's
valid. I mean, I've been calling for that for a long time.
But you'd be gone the week after. So, you know, no one actually knows. I think we'd all dream, you know, for it to happen, and sooner rather than later. Like you said earlier, I mean, the cause word for us is stability. Mm. You know, and we've just missed that for a couple of years. So, in the summer, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he doesn't go in the next couple of days... what his plans are, because he strikes me as the kind of guy who wants to get his stuff done early.
Mm.
So, you know, it's always a fingers crossed and try and look positive.
Always try and be positive, don't you, Nath? How do you see it going?
To be honest, I was in the same camp as Tom. I thought, you know, it'd be the same thing, we'd plod along. But after what I heard tonight, I'm starting to doubt whether it is going to be Carl here next year. Or if it is, it's going to be a sort of a last-minute.com and him getting some... sort of free reign sort of thing. So it's the same old, you know, just watch this space. But yeah, I don't know. I think what we've learnt in the last recent years, you can't predict anything here, can you? So
exactly.
You can't do anything.
I don't know. Dream scenario, new owners, new vision, new way forward. And if that involves a new manager, then I'll take that. If it involves Carl Robinson, I'll probably actually take it as well. But that's the dream scenario. The nightmare scenario is that, as you say, maybe he knows after his comments this evening that he's not going to get the budget he thought he was going to get. We're going to get two or three players in, try and faff our way with a few loan players at the beginning of the season. They'll get injured. The two players he bought will get injured. We won't win the first six games. He'll get sacked. And Lee Bowyer will be in charge with Johnny Jackson as a coach for the next seven games, and we won't go pick up a point. And we're back to square one. That's the nightmare scenario, which we've already had for 2 years.
Yeah, okay. I just had a DM from Kevin as well. He's asked me what my view as well. Not that I'm ever backward in coming forward in sharing anyway, but my view is, and I said this earlier on our show as well on Radio London, and so I'm quite happy to repeat it here, there is absolutely no way forward for this club underneath Roland's ownership. And it's so desperate that the club gets sold in the summer. It has to happen. There's no good reason for anyone for this club to still be in the hands of Roland du Châtelet when by the time the next season starts, he's losing money hand over foot. Sure, there's some good stuff going on down at the training ground. that's not good enough. The fans here, they do not want to see a club that's owned by Rennes du Châtelet or being managed day-to-day by Catherine Meret. That's the reason the gates are so low. That's why under those two people, we are never going to go forward. And there's this absolutely no reason whatsoever for those two people still be here at the start of next season. I beg to you, please just go. Please just go. Right, it's time to come to the end of the show, the end of the season. Here on Charlton Live, it's been another roller coaster of emotions. Certainly, it's Tom and Nathan and to Terry. You guys have been coming in all season. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk about Charlton with you guys.
Likewise, Louis. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Cheers, mate, and thanks everybody for listening and the contributions. Mm. It's been emotional. It's what keeps us going. Basically,
Mark. Special thanks to you because without you, I only eat once a year, and that's when you come in at the end of the season.
We basically only get fed once a year.
Yeah, and also for listening and for your emails throughout the season as well. So thank you very much for coming in.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, excellent stuff, guys. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. And to all our coverage throughout the season. We're going to leave you now with a compilation of our favourite bits. There's some funny bits, there's some sad bits in here, mainly shouting at me.
Oh, is that in there?
Oh, yeah.
High quality.
Yeah, so, you know, it's been another absolutely crazy ride here in SE7. Let's listen back to it. It's about 15 minutes long, this, but I think there's stuff in this when I was putting this together, I forgot happened this season. So, buckle up and listen to another crazy roller coaster here in SE7 throughout the season. Thank you for listening for Charlton Live over the years, and we'll be back whenever the next season starts. At some point, we'll be back. We're all knackered. Thank you for listening. We'll see you later.
I'm very pleased to introduce you Russell Slade, the new Charlton Athletic manager.
I'm delighted to be here. It's a fantastic football club with a great tradition.
The depth of the squad, is that something you're happy with, or you think you're getting there?
Oh, no. We're miles away. I'd like to think between now and the start of the season, we can get another five or six additions.
Towards the back post, but Pope gets ahead on it, and it's cleared off the line, I think. No, it's a goal.
It'll win high, definitely.
2-0 Bury, an opening day defeat for the Addicts.
Roger Johnson was alleged to have given a little bit back to the travelling support.
The fans gave their opinion of the game, which, you know, everyone's more than entitled to do, and as a professional you should be a bit more professional. I know I use that word twice, but you should be a bit more, you know, professional.
We have to change and wait and be patient, like we waited and we were patient for Rudd, like we waited and we were patient for Jason Pearce. Did you see that? You see how patient we were?
Yeah, and you still feel confident you'll get the squad there?
Yeah, I feel very confident, yeah.
And finally,
despite your pessimism. They got that deep, they all needed snorkels.
Tuesday night's 3-0 win over Shrewsbury Town here at the Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury, so I haven't decided.
McGuinness will jump, gets in, and so does Jose, and there's the goal! Jose's across, gets the ball in there, and Jose scores!
Take his man on edge of the penalty, takes a shot, deflected, yeah! And there's the equaliser, Adamola Lookman.
He's capable of doing that, there's no doubt about that. I'd be happy, I think, when the window shuts, and maybe he'll settle down a little bit for us.
Fuller swings the ball into the box towards Elliott, he gets his head there, and scores. It was Barnett who got on the end of it, the other tall centre-forward who's come on. And Wimbledon have the lead in the dying minutes.
Talk about the Thomas Dreisen situation in the Voice of the Valley yesterday. The young man who, quite literally, I've been told, did his scouting in his bedroom, in his underpants, on his laptop. Whereas some of us were probably thinking that Thomas Dreisen was a thing of the distant past. This season, he tried to overrule the signing of Andrew Crofts. And as per Bob's tweet earlier, I believe that caused a bit of a row between Slade and Katrine.
The whole Moneyball idea has been around for a while, hasn't it? About creating a style of play and finding players that fit that style and all of that. But it's got that, but like a terrible version of it.
Joined outside Tesco by Catherine here. Catherine, what's Scunthorpe like to live in as a place?
Gets us underway here at the Valley. And the ball goes back to Morgan Fox in the left-back slot. There's a multitude of flying pigs descend upon the valley.
Russell, late equaliser for Fort Vale today. What are your feelings after that one?
Sick. Absolutely sick. But of course the fans will think that's my fault. Because we were quite vocal in making that point. My fault that we missed maybe six, seven opportunities. My fault that I give the penalty away.
Just strike this right footed. He does. And buries the goal! Down the bottom left-hand corner. And Charlton have played a get-out-of-jail-free card here, you've got to say. As Nicky Ajose pulls Charlton back level.
Ran straight to Russell Slade, it must be said.
Novak with a header!
It's a goal!
What a goal! Lee Novak with a superb glancing header! Half and last ditch attempt by Bowery. Ball gets out and slammed into the box by Goddard. Charlton have succumbed here at the County Ground in Swindon. Not just to a 3-0 defeat, but in all areas pretty much of the park.
It was a poor performance today, Lou. Game 16, we probably put in collectively our worst performance of the season.
Charlton have sacked their manager Russell Slade after just 16 matches in charge. He was appointed on a 3-year deal in June, but with the Addicts currently 15th in League One, the club says it's reluctantly made the decision to part company with him.
It's called Taxi for Roland, and it's something quite novel. We've actually got a standard London taxi, typical black cab, completely decked out in protest livery.
They'd obviously radioed ahead, phoned the Century Dome Stadium and told them that we were basically on our way to them, so to be prepared, and they were.
And once it was confirmed that it was Roland, we got everyone, as many as we could, back to the stadium as quickly as possible.
And Roland du Châtelet has texted this: "These protests have nothing to do with reason. Therefore, whatever we do or say, the core actors within that group will always criticise."
Luckman looking for space on his left-hand side, takes a shot. It's taken a deflection, I think, and got into the right-hand corner of the net. McGuinness checks and gets there. Lovely touch, and McGuinness buries it in the six-yard box. To the penalty area comes Deese across, Bowen head out, straight at the keeper. No, it's gone in. St. Chickson with the right foot shot, takes an deflection, and he's found the back of the net. Edge of the penalty area, Jose thinks about the shot, takes a shot, oh, and he's found the bottom right hand corner. And in the 84th minute, gives Charlton a 5-0 lead.
It's the start of an exciting new era here at the Valley. Again, today we have announced that we have a brand new manager. Carl Robinson, the former MK Dons manager, 36 years old, has signed a 2.5-year contract to manage the Addicts for 6 months.
It's not quite settled in the NXT, but I'm looking forward to it still. I'm still like a little kid, yeah. I'm dead excited.
Go from beginning! Yeah! Oh, Charlton have grabbed the equaliser! I think it could have been Bauer on the line, but McGuinness's initial header. And quite how we've done it, I've no idea, but Charlton are back on level terms.
The producer of the Getting to Know the Network podcast, Jimmy Stone.
We wanted to put out a balanced piece of journalism, really, about what's happened at Charlton. We knew the emails existed.
I don't do mine, I let my missus does it. He obviously gets bullied and lets his missus, he does it.
Christmas is a time for tradition. Our traditional capitulation at Millwall. We were beaten at the Den last night, 3-1. Now 21 years since we've won at the Den. 20 years still since we've beaten Millwall. Andy Lookman's confirmed he's moved to Everton. Kevin Foley has been released. His 5-month contract has come to an end. It has not been renewed. Jake Forster-Caskey has come in from Brighton. So that's a big plan. We've also had Jade Silver sign on loan from Chelsea. Golden straw against Millwall. Our winless run against them extends to forever.
Get out of the way, Stroud, you moron!
Ah! Help!
We want to demonstrate that there are female Charlton fans who are among the protesters and who have reached the end of the road with this regime.
If Bauer, he gets his head there, and it's an equaliser.
But Forsakowski still has it, has options left and right, finds Nathan Byrne on the right side. Nathan Byrne!
No, 2-1 Charlton! Put into Wheater, and that's the final whistle. Charlton, quite incredibly, down to 10 men, a goal down, have turned it round.
And then we get onto the negative. I'm really, really angry, frustrated. Certain football clubs can't conduct themselves correctly, in my view. Every single person at the football club, everybody has tried to get make two deals happen.
Janet Jackson coming on didn't surprise me. Putting him left back did.
Well, the Wimbledon fans not happy with the referee. Carl Robinson's coming off and he's been approached by somebody now. The groundsman's had a go, I think.
He knows what he said. And listen, we get stick, it's part and parcel of the game. But when an employee of them have to say what they have to say, shows you the class of the person. Shows you the class of the human being. Then he walked away.
Be tapped home again by Texera. It's 3-0. Absolutely bonkers here. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm
brave. Low at the edge of the 6-yard box has buried it, and Charlton are 1-0 down.
Awful defending.
They run to Ricky Holmes, who bags number 3 for Charlton and his own hat trick. And Charlton, despite scoring 3 goals, have gone down 4-3 here at Greenhouse Meadow.
I'd say 40% of the squad don't care enough.
A few weeks ago, we were looking above us and thinking, can we sneak into that 6? Now you're asking me about, do we need to be worried of what's below us?
Like clockwork, off we go on the way to Belgium.
Basically what he said, he doesn't care if you win games, and if he doesn't care if you win games, nothing can ever be right.
Whistle blows, Tony Watt steps forward, and buries it into the right-hand corner! Yes. Charlton take the lead! Bang on full-time!
Takeover over room has been abounding around this, he said.
There's been a little bit of noise upstate again to hear stuff yesterday about the fact
that maybe
Roland
Chatelet's
stance towards selling the club might have softened a little bit, and that he might be beginning to think that he would listen to offers.
Listen, the first thing I made a phone call the other day, and he said about asking, is the club for sale? I wanted to know, because I want to build the club. I was told it's not for sale.
So, the team lost 2-0, they're 4 points above the drop zone, the manager's under real pressure, the fans booed one of his substitutions, and then a member of the Charlton contingent in the director's box appeared to goad the unhappy fans, and then made it even worse with some ill-advised messages on social media today. I'm telling you, Charlton Athletic are the best soap opera going at the moment.
Tonight is about addicts far and wide uniting to pay tribute to a fellow fan who showed much more than dedication to his chosen profession. Tonight we honour Keith Palmer for being an addict, for being a son, a husband, a father and a brother. But mostly we will honour him for being the difference, being someone prepared to do whatever it takes to keep us safe. Thank you, Keith Palmer, as tonight we stand together for you.
Mike Flanagan, today the Charlton Up Beats Walk, how special an occasion has it been?
Well, it's been a great day. The weather's been good. We all took off from the training ground this morning, and we've all met up here, and it's been really good to raise money for the Upbeats.
Chips the ball back in the box. McGuinness is there, as is Overstreet. And it's in! Lukaski has buried the header. And there's the final whistle. A final 3 points for Charlton in a battle to stay in this league. A lot of police away to our right hand side, they're certainly expecting. Here come the pigs, mostly in the commentary end. We are underway here at Pirico Arena. Ball towards McGuinness, but headed clear as more pigs arrive on the pitch. And the referee's going to have to blow this and halt proceedings again in that corner.
Holmes flicks it around. Oh, what a finish! Oh. What a lovely goal! And that seals Ricky Holmes' season
lovely build-up play on his left-hand side to Silva into Byrne. Byrne first time to Holmes. Holmes first time just creeps the ball past Henry. Charlton have their third.
And everybody pretty much on their feet applauding the skipper. And I'm going to do the same.
Can't wait to get your teeth stuck into this summer. What your business you got planned?
Oh, let's just see what happens now. Let's just get over today and we'll see where we go from there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.